It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get back to league action after last week's cup drama. Rangers are at home. There's a potential debut for Todd Cantwell with the visit of St Johnstone. All eyes on Easter Road, El Sacchio, some are calling it, between Jim Goodwin and Lee Johnson as Hibs take on Aberdeen. And two other big fixtures in the top flight, Ross County Kilmarnock and St Mirren Motherwell. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me in the studio is Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
Back to league football. And how? Rangers against the St Johnstone side, who've had five defeats in a row in the league, can reduce the gap between themselves and Celtic to 6 points ahead of Celtic's visit to Dundee United tomorrow. And the team news is sensational. We'll let Andrew McLean take care of that. At Easter Road, it's not so much who dares wins as who wins stays in the battle between Lee Johnson and Jim Goodwin. And at the bottom, Ross County can come off the bottom and go into 11th place if they beat a struggling Kilmarnock. Great day.
What an interesting day ahead. Hugh's right. I mean, something at stake everywhere, all the way up in Dingwall, Kilmarnock, Ross County, bottom of the table clash. You look at Motherwell, St Mirren, Stevie Hamill desperately needs a win in the league, and St Mirren looking to go into the top six. You've got Lee Johnson against Jim Goodwin, and I'm sure Rangers fans going along to Ibrox today will be desperate to see Todd Cantwell and maybe a returning Yanis Hadji.
Yeah, Mark touched on definitely need a win. I think there's a lot of clubs this afternoon needing a win, Gordon. You look at St Johnstone, that's a massive ask. I can't see that. Hibs and Aberdeen need a win. St Mirren and Motherwell need a win. Ross County and Kilmarnock need a win.
And that doesn't even tell the full picture, because if you look down throughout the SPFL, there are fantastic games all across the place. Dundee, Queen's Park, massive game at the top of the Championship. Local to us, Partick Thistle, Hamilton's get a good look to it as well. And on we go down the divisions. But let's focus on our featured matches in the Scottish Premiership. We've got interesting team news at Ibrox with Andrew McLean.
Yeah, well, the headlines this week have been about both Aberdeen and Hibs, haven't they? Because there's so much going on there. But the story here is maybe just how little is going on at Rangers in terms of transfers in at the moment. I'm sure many supporters would have expected more than one to be in the door at this moment, with just a few days left of the transfer window. Work is going on in the background with Nicholas Raskin and Morgan Whittaker, but as it stands, Todd Cantwell, the only player in, and a big call from Michael Beale because he makes his debut from the start today. And one player that will feel like a new signing is Yanis Hadji. 1 year and 1 week since his last Rangers appearance, 372 days ago, he's back on the bench today. Michael Beale hoping to continue that unbeaten run of his two, and he's up against a side who can't really buy, I was going to say, I can't buy a win at the moment, they can't even buy a point at the moment, St Johnstone. Sorry, five straight Premiership defeats in a row. Also knocked out the Scottish Cup by Rangers in their last match too. Still a wee bit of daylight between themselves and the teams below, but they played a game more than the likes of Motherwell and Dundee United, so they're in real danger of getting sucked back in to that relegation scrap. As for team news, two changes for Rangers, Lundstrom and Sakala, the two dropping out. And as I say, the big news, Todd Cantwell in from the start. Alan McGregor is the goalkeeper for them today. The back four, James Tavernier, Connor Goldson, Ben Davies and Borna Barisic. The midfield three, Ryan Jack, Glenn Kamara and Malik Tillman. Todd Cantwell and Ryan Kent either side of Alfredo Morelos. The substitutes, McLaughlin, Lundstrom, Hadji, Colak, Sands, Wright, Sakala, Arfield and Devine. As for St Johnstone, Remy Matthews starts in goal for them. The back four, James Brown, Liam Gordon, Andy Considine and Adam Montgomery. Five across the midfield, Dre Wright, Callum McPherson, Melker Hallberg, Daniel Phillips and Conor McLennan. Nicky Clark, the lone striker for them today. The substitutes, Parrish, Mitchell, Wotherspoon, Crawford, Carey, Bear, May, Murphy and O'Halloran. The referee at Ibrox today is Willie Collum, the VAR, Nick Walsh.
If the theme of this week, Hugh Keevans, is that there's only been one signing at Ibrox, well, yep, the Rangers fans going along will get a good old look at him, Todd Cantwell, because he starts this afternoon.
I came here to give my flawless prediction of Rangers to win 4-0. Now that I know that Todd Cantwell is playing and the atmosphere will have been cranked up, I'm changing it to 5-0.
nice conservative start to the show. I suppose the interesting thing about it, Gordon, is just how quickly he's been thrown in. Todd Cantwell has not played a game of football since the 12th of November, and he's not started one since the 2nd of November, when he lined up for Norwich against Michael Beale's QPR. Mm. Funny how these things work out. But there we are. He does start today. Does that surprise you at all, given that, that time frame?
Yeah, it does. Usually when a new player arrives at a club and he's not had so much game time, Gordon, and you've just highlighted he's not, then, you know, they bed them in on the bench, maybe. If it was a comfortable afternoon for Rangers, the 20 minutes as usual, just bed them in nice and slowly. But well done to the Rangers manager. He's looked at him, thinks he's sharp enough, thinks he's a case of getting him in early, getting him up to speed, letting the Rangers fans, there'll be a big crowd there at Ibrox today, let them see what he's signed. So I think it's exciting today.
I think, you know, signings like Cantwell have to be made to improve the team and to have an instant impact. But I just thought it was a wee bit too soon. I didn't expect him to start the game. I thought he'd get some minutes. Biggest surprise, I think, for me is that Sakala is the one that misses out, because true, he's been in great form this season. Even last week, it was his shot that obviously rebounded to Barisic and he puts it in the net. And he's been a real find for Beale. So Cantwell in, big opportunity for him. I just wonder what his fitness levels are like.
I suppose Andrew McLean, not to suggest for a second Rangers are taking St Johnston lightly, but on paper it's not an overly difficult fixture at home to St Johnston. If he wasn't to start today, you then roll on to Tynecastle Wednesday night. You're not pitching him in there for his first start, you can't imagine. So maybe just do it while you can, and what might be a, well, what Michael Beale will be hoping will be a bit of a gentle debut for him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Michael Beale said he wants to bring in players to improve the first team, and if he wants Todd Cantwell to be playing games consistently, he needs to get him out on the pitch. Todd Cantwell spoke about his own fitness. He said he's a naturally fit player, but he said the only thing he's maybe lacking at the moment is match fitness. So the only way you can get that is by playing matches. And you look at this game today, Ibrox looks a very good pitch today. It's a big pitch as well, a home crowd. The conditions are good for a game of football, so for a creative player like Todd Cantwell, this is the game that he will look at and think, you know what, this is the type of game that I'll should, if I'm on, you know, top form, be able to go in and make a difference. And he'll want to really, you know, appease the Rangers crowd as early as possible. So good conditions certainly for him to make his debut. We'll see how he gets on.
And is that where this notion of home advantage, particularly for the big two, is so important, Gordon? Because I know St Johnstone are on this dreadful run, and they lost against Rangers in the cup, but you would probably say there wasn't much in that. I mean, the scoreline certainly tells you that, even the balance of play, but it was at McDermott Park and this one's at Ibrox, and does it just feel like a totally different challenge?
Well, yeah, I think it's a massive challenge for St Johnstone, especially going to Ibrox. New signing there gives everybody a lift, gives the crowd a lift. I just think that after, if you're at home, the pitch isn't as good as Ibrox. I'm not being disrespectful to the groundsman up there, but the pitch isn't as good, so it plays into your hands a little bit. But going to Ibrox this afternoon, desperate for a win, it's a hard one for Callum Davidson, because what do? You put everybody behind the ball and try and hit Rangers in the counter-attack. That's a dangerous game. They could lose an early goal and it could be, you know, anything they want. I don't see any hope for St Johnstone. I know there's always a chance in football. I don't see any hope
for him. If you were Callum Davidson and you've been there, Gordon, in the dressing room, and you're trying to whip up your players pre-match, if you were Callum Davidson, you would say, they're playing Todd Cantwell because they think you're easy. And the truth of the matter is, that's correct.
We will find out in the coming hours that lie ahead. But to recap that headline team news from Ibrox, Todd Cantwell makes his full Rangers debut. He's in from the start as Rangers welcome St Johnstone. Now, you know the way it works. We don't make any secret of this. On Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we're based here in Glasgow in the West, and if one of the big two is at home on a Saturday at 3 o'clock, it tends to be the priority. But I wonder if we've got a bit of shared responsibility on that front this afternoon, because Hibs against Aberdeen is massive for a whole host of reasons to be explained by Roger Hannah.
Can you feel the tension, Gordon?
Yes.
You've heard of the old firm. These two are the infirm. Jim Goodwin has remarkably got a stay of execution after that calamitous Scottish Cup defeat at Darvel on Monday night. But Dave Cormack's statement on Wednesday night didn't really give you the impression he might be around much longer. And I think a defeat today could be the end for Goodwin as Aberdeen manager after just 12 months in the job. To make matters worse, they haven't won here at Easter Road in their last four visits, and even Darvo joined the pile on this morning. They're trolling them. They tweeted, "Our DMs are open if you're looking for any advice today, Hibernian." So everybody's getting into poor Jim and his players. They lost here, if you remember, in September, Gordon, that Liam Scales red card after a controversial clash in the box with Ryan Portes. Portes is gone, and that is part of the problem for Hibs here today. You know, he went to Watford yesterday, the 10th departure in the first team squad this month alone. Kevin Nisbet would have made it 11, but he turned down Millwall yesterday, came back up the road last night, and is only on the bench for Hibs this afternoon. But they've lost Ryan Schofield, Dimitri Mitchell, Elias Melkerson, Noah Kenna, Momodou Bojang, Stephen Bradley, Kevin Dabrowski, Joe Balde, Jack Bryden, all out this window. And they've also got Rocky Bashiri out for 3 months after that horrible injury in the Derby defeat last weekend. Kyle McGuinness isn't fit. Martin Boyle's out long term. Jake Doyle Hayes misses out today. Mikola Kukarevic, who would probably have been first in line to replace Nisbet up front today, he's injured as well. They have made moves for Oxford defender Stuart Finlay and Bailey Wright of Sunderland, who's also a target for the Dons. Neither deal is done yet, and that means there's youngsters like Murray Johnson, Oscar McIntyre, Ethan Laidlaw, and 18-year-old Josh O'Connor, son of former Hibs striker Gary, are all involved in the squad today. Hibs lost 4-1 at Pittodrie to Aberdeen in November in the last meeting, and they are still reeling from that 3-0 cup defeat to Hearts last weekend. So it's anxious, it's tense, it's nervous, the pitch isn't great. This could be an old-fashioned scrap to the death this afternoon. Four changes for Hibs: Fish, Hanlon, Newell and McCurdy in for Bashiri, Portes, Cabraya and Nisbet. So that means it's David Marshall in goal. It's a back four: Chris Cadden, Will Fish, Paul Hanlon and Lewis Stevenson. Midfield: Josh Campbell, Jimmy Jago and Joe Newell. And up front: Eli Yuan, Harry McCurdy and Aidan McGeady. On the bench: Johnson, Nisbet and Miller, Cabraya, Tavares and Henderson, McIntyre, Laidlaw and O'Connor. Three changes for the Dons after Darvo. Back come the experience of Graham Shinney, Johnny Hayes and Bojan Majovski for Coulson, Mislavich and Duncan, who all go to the bench. That means Joe Lewis in goal, usual back three of Ross McCrory, Anthony Stewart and Liam Scales. Across the middle: Matty Kennedy, Ilbar Ramadani, Leighton Clarkson, Graham Shinney and Johnny Hayes. And up front: Bojan Majovski with Duke. The subs are Richie, Barron and Mislavich, Watkins, Duncan and Polvara, Coulson, Roberts and 16-year-old Finlay Marshall. The referee at Easter Road today is Craig Napier, and the VAR, and can you imagine if Jim Goodwin's future comes down to a VAR decision? It's Andrew Dallas.
Incredible. It's been an incredible week for Jim Goodwin, and I guess, you know, for Hibs as well. You look at the situation with Kevin Nisbet yesterday. Just to be clear here, Roger, it's all very catchy. El Sakio, El Sakiko. I've seen it spelt different ways. It's starting to stress me out a wee bit. I feel like we need to all agree on some sort of style guide on how it's said and written. Is that actually the case? Does both of these managers, are they out of a job if they lose, or are people exaggerating this?
I think it depends how you lose, Gordon. I think Jim Goodwin was probably fortunate to survive that defeat in Darvel. That's one of those things that managers very, very seldom come back from. It's like the 9-0s. You know, if you remember those two 9-0s earlier in the season in the same weekend, Jack Ross and Scott Parker paid the penalty. You don't come back from 9-0s. It was the same Mark McGee when he lost his job as Aberdeen manager a few years ago. And I think if you lose to a sixth-tier team in the Scottish Cup, it's very, very, very difficult to come back from that. So I think anything short of a positive result for Aberdeen today and Jim Goodwin could be in bother. Lee Johnson, I think that's slightly different. I think if you're selling Ryan Portes and you've shown you're willing to sell Kevin Nisbet and you're clearing out all the rest of them as well, it's very difficult to suddenly sack the manager as well. Where does that leave the club? So I suspect Lee Johnson will probably be around for a period of time to come. But saying that, if Aberdeen come here and win as convincing a scoreline as Hearts did last Sunday, the pressure will be on Lee Johnson.
So there we are, you panellists in the studio. It's not El Sakio after all.
Well, yes, it might be. It's an utterly cynical world, Scottish football.
So you think Lee Johnson gets the sack if he doesn't win today? I just haven't listened to him yesterday. It just doesn't seem that way.
No, it's the beginning of the end for him.
Right, okay.
But with regard to Jim Goodwin, what happened in midweek with the statement from the Aberdeen owner Dave Cormack was not a vote of confidence. Of course it wasn't. It was a decision to make Jim Goodwin a human sacrifice. You put him up today and you say that you want an immediate improvement. In the meantime, you're scuttling around in the background looking for Jim Goodwin's successor. This is just a holding operation on Dave Cormack's part. And Jim Goodwin an honest man knows he should have been got rid of after the Darvo result and can't quite understand why he wasn't got rid of. But he'll, of course, protect his position for as long as is possible. He's very fortunate today. There's no Porteous for Hibs because he's gone to Watford. There's no Nisbet because of whatever happened at Millwall, and we don't know the full story. He's on the bench. It's even worse for Jim Goodman if he doesn't win today. I know Aberdeen's form has been terrible away from home, but if you can't beat that lot, minus their best attacker and their best defender, you really aren't bothered.
What was your take on the statement, Roger, from Dave Cormack?
It was just one of the stranger statements I think I've ever seen. Everyone we spoke to Tuesday and Wednesday were convinced Jim Goodwin was away. I think Jim Goodwin was convinced that Jim Goodwin was away, Gordon. And the statement was baffling. It didn't really give you the belief that the Aberdeen board have the belief in Jim Goodwin and his backroom staff. But listen, it's going to be a very interesting week. If they can get through today, they then get back-to-back home games midweek and next Saturday against St Mirren and Motherwell. That maybe offers them a bit of a chance to get himself some redemption before they go to Celtic Park in their game after that, Gordon. But I just tend to think, you know, Hugh described Lee Johnson as the beginning of the end. I think the beginning of the end for Jim Goodwin was some of those results and performances post-World Cup. Think of the criticism he got for the way they set up for the home defeat to Celtic, the way they lost two goals in the 95th and 97th minute to lose to Rangers, losing with 10 men at St Mirren, losing again to Rangers, and that Anthony Stewart, another red card in the semi-final, and then to put the tin lid in it all, Darvel on Monday night. That is the biggest shock in 150 years of Scottish Cup football. I think it's very hard to come back from that.
And where are we then on the Kevin Nisbet story yesterday, Roger? It was quite something. You know, Lee Johnson conducted his press conference. He was talking as if Kevin Nisbet was gone, spoke about being a big loss and trying to reinvest the money. And then came the news that he had had a change of heart. That's the official line. Now, lots of people, Hugh and Cammy, were being ever so cynical last night, saying, well, chances are Millwall are offering you good money. So where does this change of heart come from? Is there another club that's ready to pounce? Is there some other reason that hasn't come to light yet? But either way, he remains a Hibs player. Will he still be one at the end of the window?
I'm not convinced he will be, Gordon, to be honest with you. Why do footballers make moves in their careers? They do it for financial reasons, mainly. That's why Ryan Portis has left Hibs to go to Watford, because he'll be on a lot more money. Kevin Nisbet could have gone to Millwall on a lot more money. So you would suspect that there's maybe someone else in the background. They now know what it would take to get Kevin Nisbet out of Hibs. And if they can maybe pay him a little bit more than Millwall were willing to pay, that might be the attraction for Kevin Nisbet. I'm far from convinced he will be a Hibernian player beyond the end of the window.
Okay, let's leave them there then. Those two big games, Rangers St Johnston and Hibs Aberdeen. We've got three other crackers as well to feature for you this afternoon, and we will go around those grounds next.
Action as it happens. Your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, Gordon Dalziel all in the studio. We've got the top team around the grounds, and what a day it is going to be, because we've already covered off Rangers v St Johnston, a full debut for Todd Cantwell, and Hibs Aberdeen. So many storylines involved at Easter Road, the future of both managers, Dave Cormack's statement, Ryan Portis is gone, will Kevin Nisbet follow? At Darvel last week, it is all there and an absolutely fantastic fixture to look forward to. But the beauty of today's fixture card, there is something riding on every game. The Smyza Stadium is another great example. St Mirren against Motherwell, and David Friel is there.
Yeah, Gordon, I don't think it's quite as dramatic as Easter Road, but I think it's fair to say both managers could be doing with a win. The good news for Motherwell fans ahead of the game is that the signing of Riku Danzaki has finally been confirmed. He's signed a 2.5-year deal, but the bad news is that international clearance hasn't come through in time for the Japanese winger, so he misses out. He's actually standing 20 yards away from me, beanie hat on, big jacket on, looks freezing, but he's taking in the delights of Paisley as we speak. There's another blow for Motherwell boss Stevie Hamill as well. Mikael Mandron scored two goals at both last weekend. He picked up a training an injury in training yesterday, and he also misses out, so Kevin Van Dien comes in for him. As you said, Motherwell are without a win in the last eight league games, but at the risk of jinxing it for yourself, Gordon, and so many Motherwell fans out there, this is their lucky ground. They're the only team to win here in the league this season, way back in the opening day of the season when Stevie Hamill was just a caretaker manager, and they're unbeaten in their last eight visits to Paisley, stretching back to May 2015. Stevie Hamill actually played for Motherwell that day. It was a 2-1 defeat. Scott McDonald was sent off for basically chucking an elbow at Thomas Riley, who we saw playing for Davo on Monday night, so a long time ago. Motherwell obviously took a lift from beating their both last week, and I think this game will have some added spice, so much on the line, but also St Mirren manager Stephen Robinson will be facing his former club, and there are no fewer than five ex-Motherwell players in the St Mirren side. As I said, St Mirren, such a good home record. They're unbeaten in 11 home matches here, and they're looking to return to the top six, but they actually only have one win in their last 10 league games. So while the narrative, sorry Hugh, is that St Mirren are having a good season and Motherwell are having a bad one, Motherwell can actually move within 4 points of St Mirren if they win today. So much riding on it. St Mirren have made three changes from the Scottish Cup win over Dundee last week. Ethan Erehon, Greg Kilty and Alex Grieve are in for Declan Gallagher, Keanu Backus and Jonah Ayunga. Trevor Carson will be in goals, usual back five, Ryan Strain, Marcus Fraser, Alec Gogic, Charles Dunn, Scott Tanzer. Midfield three of Greg Kilty, Mark O'Hara and Ethan Erehon, with Alec Grieve and Curtis Main up front. Subs for St Mirren are Urminski, Gallagher, Richard Taylor, Kenny Flynn, Fraser Taylor, Offord, Jameson and Ayunga. As for Motherwell, they've made two changes from our both. As I mentioned, Mandron's out with injury, Kevin Van Dien comes in, and Connor Shields, who's interested in a few clubs in the Championship trying for a loan move, replaces Ollie Crankshaw on the wing. So Motherwell back four, Liam Kelly in goals, Matt Johnson, Shane Blaney, Ricky Lamy and Paul McGinn, who'll play at left back. Midfield three of Callum Slattery, Sean Goss and Blair Spittle, with Connor Shields and Stuart McKinstry supporting Kevin Van Dien. Subs for Motherwell are Oxborough, O'Donnell, Crankshaw, Solholm, Cornelius, Tierney, Dunnicky and Ross. The referee at the Smyzer Stadium is John Beaton, and the VAR is Grant Irvin.
You see, I expect Roger Hanna to hold a disciplinary hearing now and have the boy Friel up in front of him for the use of the word narrative. But in the meantime, what a chance for St Mirren to leapfrog Hibs today in the league table after Hibs lose to Aberdeen. That would put Hibs in the bottom six and St Mirren in the top six. So that's the incentive. That's the narrative, in fact.
You would have is mad that both teams would have chosen to play the game in Paisley, Gordon, because St Mirren's home record, as David says, is good, and Motherwell's away record is much better than their home record. So
yeah,
it certainly has the feel of a fixture that should be close on paper. And as David says, the league table, it's not a massive difference. Yeah, I reckon most of you are responsible tipsters this afternoon would be going for St Mirren.
Not really. I just wonder that last week's cup win against Arbroath away from home. I know it's a Premier League club against Championship, but we all know going up there how difficult it is against a Dick Campbell side, well organised, and they come through that with flying colours. And somewhere along the line, you need a turning point in your season. Stevie Hamill might just look at that, but as you correctly say, going to St Mirren will be a difficult game. They're not in great form in the last five games, you've got to say. I would sit in the fence in this one this afternoon. I think both teams are capable of winning, of course I do, but I think it'll be a draw.
Yeah, St Mirren, three draws and two defeats in their last five. Motherwell, three draws and two defeats in their last five. Lots to get excited about. Let's hear from the management then, former Motherwell boss Stephen Robinson.
We're very much concentrated on ourselves. Our performance first half was under par against Dundee. We were better in the second when we made changes and we were more aggressive higher up the pitch. But I'm looking to continue the good home form. 11 unbeaten, we want to make that 12. The only team that's actually beat us at home is Motherwell. So against Mayo Club, it's be nice to see everybody after the game. But first and foremost, 3 points to push us back into the top six. There is a togetherness. I think the fans understand the parameters we're working under and how hard the players are trying for them. So to keep that bond together, to keep that winning run, we're desperate to.
Yeah, Riku Danzaki signed, as David Friel says, this morning. International clearance not through on time. Still no call to you for you to be the one that, you know, kind of shows him round Motherwell, like a player liaison officer sort of thing.
I'd probably expect it later on. Obviously business was getting done today. I was at my way into the studio, so maybe a call tonight, tomorrow, and I'll certainly help Motherwell as I could.
And take him down to the Wotherspoons tonight and try and get him settled into the local area.
We go higher than that. I've got a lot of good
Alan Burrows will have spoken to the player by this time and said, there's a guy that lives over there.
A wanted picture up in the dressing room. Do not approach this man.
They call him the Dazzler. Yeah. Don't go anywhere near him.
His window's always open. Don't go near it.
You'll see him hobbling around the local town. Let's hear from Stevie Hamill.
We're still confident of having a successful league campaign. I understand the games are coming thick and fast, and it's important we pick up as many points as we can as soon as possible. I think a couple of additions is going to help us do that. Again, it's not going to be easy every week. I'm going to say the same thing. It's going to be a difficult game. This week's no different, but it's important we take that togetherness and that competitiveness that we're speaking about and showcase that in the match day.
Right, here's the thing. If Easter Road is El Sacchio and Paisley is the Stephen Robinson, Keith Lasley derby, the Global Energy Stadium with Dave Galloway is the Wimpy derby. Because I got a message from Simon, a Kilmarnock fan, this morning, quite rightly pointing out, wait for this, this is the revelation you've all been waiting for. There are two remaining Wimpies in Scotland, one in Dingwall and one in Kilmarnock. So there was only one man that we could possibly send to the game. It's Mr. Wimpy himself. Take it away, Dave Galloway.
Thank you very much, Conor. I am most honoured just to celebrate. I had a big and mighty, one of their new creations. Basically, it's a bit of everything in a bun. Very nice indeed, though.
Much like yourself, Dave, a bit of everything. Take it away, then. What are you expecting on the pitch today?
Thank you very much. Well, obviously a huge game for the Premiership's bottom two, Gordon. It's so tight at the wrong end of the table, with Ross County propping up the rest, just 3 points behind Kilmarnock, and also Dundee United and Motherwell. County on a dreadful run. No league wins in the last 7 games. Then they got knocked out of the Scottish Cup last weekend by bottom of the Championship, Hamilton Accies. Now, Kilmarnock have made the 204-mile trek up here as the only top flight side without an away win this season. But at least they squeezed through in the Cup at home to Dumbarton a week ago and saw off Aberdeen last month at Rugby Park. So they are in better form than their host. This is a real six-pointer here, if ever there was one. To the teams then, and three changes for Ross County. In come Iacoviti, White and new boy Brophy, who starts up top, of course. Out go Edwards, Olegby and Owuru. So it's Laidlaw in goals. Back three of Watson, Iacoviti and Baldwin. Randall and Harmon, the wing backs. Then in the middle of midfield, it's Callaghan, Danda and Kenna, with the new look strike force up top. Brophy and White leading the line for the Staggies. Substitutes for Ross County. Team lines have just blown away in the breeze. Excuse me.
Nothing worse. Nothing worse.
2 seconds. No,
don't
it's
you
here.
Worry. You take your
it.
Time. Carry on.
Got it here. Thank you. It's Munro, Kankola, Sims, Loturi, Hewula, Tilson, Samuel, Smith and Stones for Kilmarnock. Three changes there. McKenzie, four changes, I beg your pardon. McKenzie, Jones, Waters and Vassell are in. Out drop Armstrong, McEnroy, Murray and Lafferty. So Hemming in goals across the back, right, Mayo, Taylor and Waters. Then midfield, McKenzie, Polworth, Power and Jones, with Robinson and Vassell up front. The subs, Walker, Alston, Sanders, Lyons, McEnroy, Donnelly, Alabiozu, Doidge and Lafferty. And your match referee here is Chris Graham.
Looking forward to that one. Ross County, Kilmarnock, big game at the bottom. You just wonder, the signing of Eamon Brophy, is that, can be the type of signing that keeps Ross County up? You look at the league table, it tells you scoring goals is a major issue. They've got 15 in total in 22 games, which is, I think, four fewer than Kilmarnock, who are the next in the struggling line mark. Everyone else has got much more than that. So clearly finding the net's been a problem.
Well, they need a goal scorer in, and they never really replaced the work that was done by Hungbo and Regan Charles Cook. And that's been Malcolm Mackay's problem this season. Now, with Brophy on paper, it looks a good signing, and the partnership sounds good, Brophy and White. But Brophy needs to rediscover the form that he had a couple of years ago, because things haven't been going great for him so far. Maybe he just needed a change of scenery to rediscover some of his best form. Malky Mackay will be hoping for that this afternoon.
An amazing stat that Dave took from inside the big bun there about Kilmarnock being the only team in the Premiership not to have won an away game this season. So would you leave out Kyle Lafferty under those circumstances? Probably not, but Derek McInnes has, so it's a bold move by him.
Right, forget those lineups. How's this for a selection? David Friel has just sent me what the big and mighty from Wimpy is that Dave Galloway is eating, right? It's a quarter pounder with a pork bendy. Do not ask. Bacon, two battered onion rings, grated cheese, more onion apparently, and wimpy ketchup in a white bun. 950 calories, Dave Galloway.
It was delicious.
Honestly, what a pre-match preparation for that man. Anyway,
it's Mary Berry we need in here.
Listen, I'll tell you, for a number of reasons, because the next game we're going to attracts a more sophisticated clientele. And the reason that we picked Fraser Wishart there, you know, it's obvious because he fits in perfectly there as well. There will be no big and mighty. We're maybe talking like a cheese board or something, you know, a bit more sophisticated.
A skinny latte,
for Partick
surely.
Thistle against Hamilton Fraser.
Yeah, some boys from the south side of Glasgow like myself, very sophisticated, fits in at the West End. You're right, no wimpies around here. Far more likely to be a cappuccino and a croissant. But it's back to league business for these two teams after wins in the cup last week. Both got through in penalties and have got good draws in the last 16. Jags are at Ibrox and Hearts are going to be the visitors to New Douglas Park, so both those games will bring in some much needed revenue for both the teams. But on the park, I think the manager will be hoping that the wins will keep the good form going on to these league games. Aki's also won their last league game against Morton, so John Rankin with a victory against Ross County last week. He's hoping to keep the good form going. Different priorities though till the end of this season. Thistle still in a hunt for the title, but will want at least to be in the playoffs for promotion come June to the Premiership. And it's been a while since they've been in the top league, and I think the fans will think it's about time they were back there. It's been a difficult season for Aki's though. A couple of years ago they were in the Premiership and had a long run in the top division, but John Rankin simply now his job is to keep Aki's in the Championship itself. It's at the bottom of the table, four behind Arbroath and eight adrift of Safety, who are Cove Rangers, who, of course, after last night, another heavy defeat, are doing their best to give Aki's that chance of catching them. John Rankin's brought in a lot of young players to the squad. It's always been their way, and the board has stuck by him, which is good to see. But a few new faces today to add to the squad, loan from down south, and young Connor Smith is on the bench. He's highly thought of at Hearts, and he'll get a chance to improve his game between now and the end of the season. Ian McCall got a strong squad, plenty of Premiership experience, but he's got a young bench as well, plenty of injuries, and a number of players out, likes of experienced players like Scott Tiffany, Cammy Smith, Brian Graham, Stephen Lawless, all in attacking areas, they miss out today. So I think that Ian McCall might just want to squeeze some money out of his board from that cup game at Ibrox later on this month to get a player or two in before the window closes for that promotion push. They've been in a decent run of form since the 6 defeats in a row in November, which was a really poor run, 1 defeat in the last 7. So Jags fans, I think, will fancy their chances today of getting all 3 points. Just one change from that victory against Dunfermline last week for Partick Thistle. Scott Tiffany says out injured, and Ross Docherty, the skipper, comes back into the starting 11. Jamie Sneddon's in goals, are back four. Jack McMillan, Aaron Muirhead, Kevin Holt and Harry Milne. Midfield three, Lee Hodgson, Ross Docherty and Stuart Bannigan, and Kyle Turner, Danny Mullen and Aidan Fitzpatrick up front. The young bench, David Mitchell, Billy Owens, James Lyons, Xander Kennedy, G Stevenson, Gallagher Lennon, Jamie Taggart and Rico Diak for Aki's. Just one change after that great victory against Ross County. Chris McGinn drops to the bench and experienced centre-back Dan O'Reilly comes into the starting 11. Ryan Fulton in goals, Fergus Owens, Dylan McGowan and Dan O'Reilly at the back. Across the middle, Tom Sparrow, Scott Martin, Lucas Debola and Matthew Shields, with Andy Winter, Jean-Pierre Teehee and Lewis Smith up front. Their subs, Jamie Smith, Michael Doyle, Brian Easton, Dario Zanata, Dylan Stevenson, Connor Smith, Chris McGinn and Ryan Oney. And the referee today at Firhill is Greg Aiken, and of course Novar, thankfully.
Thankfully, Fraser Wishart hates it, doesn't he? You can tell every single week. He'll have a more traditional afternoon out there in the Championship. We'll go back around two of the main games that are going to take place at 3 o'clock. So much intrigue around Hibs Aberdeen. Lee Johnson's been asked pre-match about Kevin Nisbet. I'll give you his answer and further build up to Rangers St Johnston next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson, Gordon DL and Hugh Keevans are in the studio. The top team are on around the grounds because we have got some fantastic fixtures to look forward to this afternoon. Andrew McLean is keeping an eye on all things Rangers against St Johnstone, and it feels, Andrew, like the Rangers fans will be excited to see Todd Cantwell from the start, but also maybe wondering when he's going to be joined by a new signing. Can you feel both of those at the same time?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it is a very interesting situation when it comes to transfers with Rangers, because Michael Beale, who speaks very openly about transfers, was saying at the start of the window that, you know, he was hoping to bring in, he said at times, two or three players. He said at times three or four players. And at one point he even said, look, my work is done. It's now up to the club to sort the negotiations. He felt he'd had the discussions with the players he wanted to bring in and was kind of almost expecting them to be in the door. He said a couple of times, you know, would expect people to be in the door this week, and then said it again the following week, but it's not really happened. We've seen, you know, names being banded about, the likes of Nicholas Raskin, who Rangers are interested in, the same as Morgan Whittaker. There have been bids that have gone in, but neither player has been able to become a Rangers player as of yet. You can see where Rangers are coming from with Nicholas Raskin. They're not wanting to be held at ransom. His contract is up at the end of the season. He's sort of been frozen out at Standard Liège at the moment as well, because he's not signing a new contract there, so Rangers not wanting to pay over the odds when they could get him for free in the summer. But he's not signed a pre-contract with Rangers at the moment. And Morgan Whittaker, a lot of reports that another bid has been rejected for him as well, the Swansea forward. So Rangers fans will be hoping that by Tuesday's deadline that players will be joining Todd Cantwell, but certainly they'll be excited to see Todd Cantwell out here from the start today. Michael Beale speaking about him before the match to the right holders, just saying that, you know, he's an important player for the future, but he's an important player for now, and that's why he's keen to get him straight in the starting lineup and playing in this match today.
Yeah, Roger Hanna, what's your take on Rangers transfer business? Should fans be preparing for no more business to be done? Do you still think there will be? Has Michael Beale's tone shifted throughout the window? These are all the sort of questions that were coming up last night on the show.
I don't think you can criticise Michael Beale for his openness and his transparency. He's just telling the supporters how it is and sort of managing expectations, if you like. I certainly wouldn't rule out a move for Raskin before the transfer window closes in midweek, Gordon. It's just beginning. You see these types of deals in every window. You know, there's been a couple of bids rejected. Each time, you know, Rangers will go a little bit higher, his club will probably come down a little bit lower, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if there was something done before Tuesday night. Morgan Whittaker, as the window goes on, they're becoming less and less convinced that Whittaker will arrive at the club, but we'll just have to wait and see. I think patience has been the watchword for Rangers supporters right through this month of January.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose there are a couple of days left after this game. They've got big midweek fixtures as well, so going to be busy on and off the pitch. I think that's an absolute certainty. Just on the subject of transfers, I suppose, David Freeler's an update of sorts from Celtic today, or it certainly looks like Georgios Giakoumakis is closer to that exit.
Yeah, Gordon, it's becoming a bit of a saga. Yesterday it looked like it was Atlanta United, then it looked like it was Urawa Red Diamonds. This morning it now looks like it will be Atlanta United again. I think they were initially wanting a loan with an option to buy. It looks as if they come back in with a kind of deal worth around $3.5 million up front, plus I think it's $800,000 in add-ons, it would take it to about $4.3 million. So Georgios Giakoumakis does prefer a move to America, that's where he wants to go. I don't think he was overly keen on going to Japan, but if that was going to be the best deal on the table, he was going to take it. But it does look as if he will be heading to MLS now. But there's been twists and turns in this one, so until he's pictured somewhere with the scarf above his head, I would always say there could be a final twist to come.
It's again surprising for me that it's came to this with Giakoumakis, and I think a lot of Celtic fans will be disappointed. Just the price tag that David was mentioning there again is very, very low when you consider what Giakoumakis has done over the past couple of seasons, not just at Celtic. If you think Kevin Nisbet was going for £2 million and his contract was running out, for Celtic to get as little as £4 million for Giakoumakis, it's a steal for whoever gets him.
Look, that's maybe one we can elaborate on, because we are here until 6 o'clock. So once the games kick off, we'll look at all the other topics doing the rounds. We'll of course check in on the open line as well, but for now let's focus on today's games just as we get a bit closer to kick off. I don't know how this will make Aberdeen feel, but Arthurley have just pulled it back to make it 2-2 against Darvel from 2-0 down. So Arthurley showing Jim Goodwin how it should be done. Hugh Keevans.
Jim Goodwin should pay no attention to that game and should expunge from his mind any recollection of Darvel and Monday night, because it was shameful. People don't say what they ought to say now.
3-2 Arthurly.
Right.
Got to think those Darvel players are still hung over those.
Like Aberdeen, they were away from home.
Too much nonsense given to this. It would be disrespectful to say this and disrespectful to say that. Aberdeen shamed themselves on Monday night. It was, for Scottish football in general, a disgraceful result and performance. There is no room for looking for the soft touch here. It was shameful and a disgrace.
And that has been reflected by some artwork in the Aberdeen end at Easter Road, Roger Hannah.
Yeah, there's been a banner unfurled behind the goal where the Aberdeen players are warming up. Goodwin out is the message from a group of Aberdeen supporters. It is not a huge Aberdeen travelling support this afternoon. Many, of course, made that long journey down to Darvel on Monday night, and that would be a very long journey back home. But it, certainly there's a group at the front of this section of Aberdeen fans making their feelings known to Dave Cormack and the Aberdeen board.
Yeah, interesting environment. I suppose these things are not like unheard of. You know,
I repeat, the man's been put forward as a human sacrifice. Dave Cormack has put a human sacrifice in the dugout at Easter Road today. The Aberdeen fans know that there should be a change of manager. Everybody knows there should be a change of manager. And the statement was a holding statement while he looks for another one.
Are the members of the football monitoring board or whatever it was called there, Roger Hannah? Has Dave Cormack taken his seat? Is he elsewhere?
Well, I've been trying to monitor the football monitoring board, but I can't actually quite see them yet. The posh seats, as you know, Gordon, down in front of the press box here in the main stand at Easter Road. No sign of them yet. No sign of the Hibs directors either, I have to say. And the early news we do hear, though, is Lee Johnson's predecessor here at Easter Road, Sean Maloney, seems to be back in gainful employment this afternoon as manager of Wigan Athletic. And it's to be hoped he lasts longer than he did here and lasts longer than poor old Colo Touré. 59 days, 9 games, no wins.
I thought you were going to make a joke about Sean Maloney playing a big number 6 up front after what happened in the cup draw last Sunday that you took such glee in. But we'll leave that one there for now. Lee Johnson has spoken before the game. Roger Hannah, he spoke about Kevin Nisbet and how sometimes players don't get the right vibe when they go to a club. He also explained that he had a dead leg anyway and hadn't trained, and that's really what's behind the omission from the starting 11 today.
Yeah, and I would imagine he's also told Harry McCurdy on Wednesday or Thursday, you're getting a start up front, Harry, so he probably didn't want to go back on that. It'll be interesting to see if Nisbet gets on, what condition he's in, if he gets on, and what sort of reception he gets if he gets on as well. Because it's a very interesting one. He was down in London, he had a look around Millwall, and as I said earlier on, Gordon, I'm far from convinced he will still be a Hibernian player when the window closes.
Yeah, one worth watching. Does Kevin Nisbet come on and score the goal that keeps Lee Johnson in the job for now, then leave, or does he stay, and does Jim Goodwin pay the price? It's set up to be a cracker.
If Kevin Nisbet has a dead leg and hasn't trained and has been in London and come back last night, why has Lee Narrative put him in the team at all? No,
had
put him in the bench?
Had a dead leg and didn't train. So
He's obviously fit to come on and play.
Roger says, until 4 o'clock, 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon, you've lined your team up, you've done your shape, you've done your preparation. Yeah. Harry McCurdy plays, so that it was.
Yeah, I think it'd be very unfair at that short notice just to say Nisbet's back, he's playing, out you go. But it's all about decision making.
Place is a shambles.
3 o'clock kickoffs are very, very close. We will go back to Ibrox next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Four fantastic games in the Scottish Premiership. Big games throughout the remainder of the divisions as well, and they are minutes away from kicking off. So let's go back to Ibrox and take us up to kick off with Andrew McLean.
Yeah, the team's just making their way out the tunnel here at Ibrox. I'll give you a recap of the teams today. Two out for Rangers, Lundstrom and Sakala dropping to the bench. In come Glenn Kamara and Todd Cantwell, who makes his debut for Rangers today. In goals, Alan McGregor, the back four, James Tavernier, Connor Goldson, Ben Davies and Borna Barisic. The midfield three, Ryan Jack, Glenn Kamara and Malik Tillman, Todd Cantwell and Ryan Kent supporting Alfredo Morelos up top. St Johnstone, just a one change for them from that defeat to Rangers last time out. Stevie May dropping to the bench, Nicky Clark coming in, so Remy Matthews in goal for them. The back four, James Brown, Liam Gordon, Andy Considine and Adam Montgomery. The midfield five, Dre Wright, Cammy McPherson,
Melker Hallberg, Daniel Phillips and Conor McLennan, Nicky Clark starting up front. The referee, Willie Collum, and the VAR is Nick Walsh. But all eyes from a Rangers perspective today will be on Todd Cantwell. I'm sure many people remember his breakout season in the English Premier League in the 2019-20 season. Six goals he got for Norwich in that campaign. It looked like he was one of the next big breakout stars of English football. Fees of £40 million being touted for him. Moves to the likes of Liverpool and Chelsea. But his career really did hit a bump in the road, didn't it? He talked about being affected by off-the-field problems, that he was in need of a fresh start. And today is the start of that. Michael Beale, he'll give him the freedom to roam and create. I was actually listening to Marvin Bartley on this show during the week, and he was saying when he played against Rangers, when Michael Beale was the first team coach, he described their midfield rotations as frightening. And I wonder if this is an introduction of, you know, the introduction of Cantwell, could that be a step towards the return to that, along with the reintroduction of Yanis Hadji, who's back on the bench today after 372 days, over a year out of action for him with injury. Potential arrivals as well in the midfield area, of course Nicholas Raskin and Morgan Whittaker have been talked about. So a big day for Rangers, a big day for Michael Beale as he looks to continue that unbeaten run, but a big day for Todd Cantwell, who will be looking to make an impact on his debut. He's just walking around now giving high fives to his teammates. Number 13 on the back, an unusual number for an outfield player to pick. Certainly he, you know, it's unlucky for some. He says he's a big believer in making your own luck. He says that he wanted to pick a unique number because he wants to leave a legacy behind when his days at Ibrox are over. But today is his first day at Ibrox. He's out on the pitch, he's ready to start. Ryan Kent is standing over the ball and we are ready to go at Ibrox.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard Goal Flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements. Trade accounts available now. Call them today.
Really looking forward to this. This is the great thing about Scottish football, because I was really looking forward to last week and the cup did not disappoint. It was magnificent, but absence makes the heart grow fonder. We've got back to league business and what a day in store, Hugh Keevans.
Yep, and the flawless predictions are that Michael Beale has put Todd Cantwell in his side from the start today because he knows St Johnson are easy. So it's a home win for Rangers. Jim Goodwin, in spite of the banner saying Goodwin out, will be Goodwin in at 5 o'clock, because Hibs have nothing at the back, nothing up front and mediocre in the middle. So it's an Aberdeen away win. St Mirren will beat Motherwell and go into the top six, putting Hibs into the bottom six. Partick Thistle will beat Hamilton Accies, and Kilmarnock will get their first away win of the season at Ross County.
He's on one today, isn't he? I can just tell. He's in one of these unforgiving moods.
He's not shutting up today.
He's in one of those unforgiving, cynical moods.
He's had a strong coffee.
He said ham and cheese on his sandwich everything. This morning. He is raring to go.
I'm with him all the way. I think Rangers will beat St Johnstone. I think it'll be an easy day for them. I think Jim will get a much needed one at Easter Road today, because I look at the quality in the two squads and Jim's picked a strong side. It's about time his players helped him out a bit. I think it'll be a draw though. St Mirren, Motherwell, Thistle will beat Hamilton, and Kilmarnock will pile on the misery for Malky Mackay up there in Dingwall.
Remember the date, 28th of January, my granddaughter's birthday. Happy birthday, Olivia. Here's a prediction.
Can I just say that to her before you came out?
I did, but I had to give her a wee mention.
It's cheaper than a car, doesn't it? It's cheaper than buying a car.
Exactly, mate. Yeah. It's cheaper than buying a present.
And her birthday can forever be associated with four rotten predictions.
No, and I've studied this. Rangers, surprisingly. I'm going for Hibs. I'm going for against the boys. I think I don't think Aberdeen players have got the character to pull
them
off.
Does that end in Jim Goodwin's departure?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I looked at an Aberdeen team that, even at Darwell, they had no character about them at all. I wouldn't like to be standing that dugout today thinking my job depends on these players out here. So I'm going Hibs. I'm going St Mirren, Motherwell, a draw. I'm going Partick Thistle, and I'm going to go for Brophy, Ross County, to make an impact and get a win.
The big wimpy, the pork bendy celebration or whatever it was. Things you never wanted to hear on a Saturday afternoon. No goals yet going in around Scotland. We've got great fixtures down the leagues. Our featured championship match, as you well know by now, is Partick Thistle against Hamilton Accies. But I love the look of Dundee against Queen's Park. That has knock-on effects at the top of the Championship. Of course, Ayr United did their bit last night, a 5-0 win.
Where are they in the league
at
now?
Cove Rangers. Airdrie have taken a 1-0 lead against Alloa. Callum Fordyce with the first goal in Scotland today. Ayr are second in the table now.
Come on,
Ayr. Paul Hartley's got a job in his hands.
Certainly has. I mean, I think everybody thought that Paul would come back and it'd just be a quick fix, but obviously there's a malaise set in there at Cove that they've not been used to in the last couple of years. He has got a big job to get that right.
Goals are shipping.
I know.
Remarkable.
I know. I mean, for years.
All credit to Lee Bullen.
I've got to be. But for years, Cove bought ex-Premiership players coming down the ranks in the field, and it was easy for them going through the divisions. It is different when Hugh's mentioning Ayr there and Lee Bowen's side coming up against those players.
I think Cove would be an easy job to figure out. You begin there and just concentrate on your defence. They've lost 47 goals.
Yeah, it sounds easy.
47 goals. Well, I'll tell you what, I know they lost 5 last night, but if you're decent and you can go and organise and get a couple of players in the window, surely you're going to stop that leak.
Look, it's too far away. You don't want to be going there. You don't want them getting promotion. So they can stay where they are.
West Coast bias and all that in full flow, right? The only goal is that goal at Airdrie in Scotland. So certainly nothing in our featured matches at the moment either. A scrappy start in Paisley between St Mirren and Motherwell. So many former Motherwell employees in the St Mirren ranks, right from Keith Lasley to Stephen Robinson to Mark O'Hara and Charles Dunn and Curtis Main.
That's how we've got the top reporters all around the country watching these games. A scrappy start, St Mirren and Motherwell, 4 minutes on the clock.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Good for Jim Duffy. Clyde one.
David Freel, a scrappy start.
Needs that.
Yep.
Big couple of games coming up for Jim Duffy. Martin Rennie has put Clyde one up on Dunfermline. All Rangers in the first five at Ibrox, but nothing created so far. Tanzer's had one over the bar for St Mirren. Kilty had a shot blocked from a long throw, you can imagine. St Mirren are a fair old unit, and they will look to put the pressure on Motherwell from those types of situations. It was a scrappy chance, for what it's worth, says David Freel. Let's do this, Hugh, to give us some time.
The first half teaser with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
This is a blatantly ageist question. Name the 8 oldest Scots who've scored a goal in the Scottish Premiership era. Now, that era began season 2013-14. Name the 8 oldest Scots who've scored a goal in the Scottish Premiership era.
I like it. I really like it. At Clyde SSB, because some of them will roll off the tongue or the pen or the phone keypad, describe it how you will, but a couple of them really tough. Really, really tough. Get your guesses in at Clyde SSB. You need to put all 8 down on one tweet. It's quite an ask from you this afternoon. Put all 8 down on one tweet and send it over to at Clyde SSB. There's nothing better than when you make a new January signing and he comes straight in and makes an impact. Todd Cantwell started at Ibrox today, but George Oakley has put Morton one up against Arbroath.
Well, they played well last week, didn't they? Well, yeah, Morton played well last week for 15 minutes before they got undone by a terrible decision. They bring in Oakley and they've started well again this afternoon against Arbroath.
First Rangers chance, though. Tillman wins the ball 20 yards out, slides it through to Morelos. Tight angle. The shot was saved and out for a corner. David Freely's up to the description now.
Is he good? Yeah, I like that, David.
He's gone from scrappy to spiky.
Gee, I like that.
Stephen Robinson looks in a spiky mood. Hugh Keevans, yeah, he's berating
like
the ref. Looks wound up, much like yourself today.
I don't like happy people. Get in about them.
I think that'll be a good game. I think there's a lot of good games on the cards today. I really do. And you mentioned they won the Championship, Gordon. I'll be keeping an eye on Dundee and Queen's Park. That'll be a cracker.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all happening in the Championship. It's often the place to be for drama. And
I'm just thinking your CEO at Motherwell, Stephen Robinson, getting spiky. We're not going to have any confrontation, are we?
A slap of the sleeve.
I wouldn't have thought so. Surely he'll be trying to stay out of that sort of stuff now that he's on his,
only
his
few,
way out
only
of the
a
job.
Few steps
or maybe,
down.
Maybe he wants to go out with a bang.
Is that progressing in any way? Is he just happy to sit there?
He did say he would stay until a replacement was found, didn't he? So I think Alan Burrows, I think it's all gone a bit quiet.
Who's looking for his replacement?
He's doing the interview. Sorry, no, I don't think you're suitable.
You're not as good as me.
No, it's suitable.
You chucking a CV in?
No, my days of that are gone. I think I'm quite happy to sit here. We're using a Saturday.
Do you think I'd make a good CEO?
No.
Get into them. Have you used that team talk that you did moments ago?
I don't like
happy. I think you're still trying to brush up and try to make a good pundit, mate.
Low blow. Friends like these, you
know. That was a joke, you know that.
The family that hates together stays together.
Yeah, see the amount of guys out there applauding me just now. Thank you for Alan, your support.
Since you asked, Alan Burrows is just next to David Freeland. He's calm at the moment. That doesn't tend to last for
that
long.
That won't last long.
No, we'll see what happens. Still waiting on our first goals. McKinstry's had a shot blocked from 20 yards for Motherwell. That Rangers corner came to nothing. Good start, Partick Thistle. Harry Milne, couple of crosses causing problems. The goalkeeper, Partick Thistle, Jamie Sneddon, he's not had a touch in the first five. So
nice story at Thistle. Lee Hodson coming in, and the Thistle fans are paying his wages from now until the end of the season. You know, that was a club that had internal strife not so very long ago. But the fans are paying Lee Hodson's wages. That's really supporting your club.
Nah, it's great, isn't it? I mean, the Bristol fans paid to get rid of you, didn't they not, Mark Wilson?
Certainly did. I wasn't a firm favourite down there.
Pay your contract up.
Well, they did. Well, funny enough, it's FA Cup week in England. And
tell a story.
It was always a big hope of mine to play in the FA Cup because it was a big occasion back when I was younger, watched the final, and I finally got my chance against Blackburn away. And within 5 minutes I gave the ball away. Square pass. Blackburn went and scored. In about 50 minutes I got subbed, to the applause of the fans.
Yay,
the Bristol fans.
Are the Bristol
they applauded me, huh? Aye.
As in like applauded the decision to remove you.
Yeah, it wasn't aye. It was a, you know, one of them. Way.
Yeah, it wasn't a thanks for your efforts today.
Was that your last game?
That was my last game in the FA Cup.
Not your last game ever.
I might have been my last game.
Let's look that up. Was Mark Wilson's last game at Bristol an FA Cup tie against Blackburn?
The good thing is, it's not far to come from Blackburn up to Scotland.
No. But I used to sometimes travel with the manager at that point. So that's
no way.
That's a great journey.
My performance today there,
my first away game was against Nottingham Forest, and we got beat. And then I think one of the second away game was against Barnsley. We got beat, and I'm travelling with Dale on the road. Dale's driving, his missus, his wee boy. I'm sitting in the back with his wee boy.
No.
I'm saying, I thought I did all right today, Gaffer, but the rest were rubbish.
The wee boy going, Dad, he's not very good.
Awkward. So me and Derek got a wee back. I appreciate the chance he gave me. May have let him down a wee bit.
No. I've driven up for Nott, and it's a long way. That must be a nightmare after a game. Sitting with the manager.
I know. Well, he was driving. I was in the back entertaining his son because I didn't entertain the fans. That's for sure.
Pull out of that. That petrol station there, I won't be in there. I'm going in for a Dave.
Aye, awkward times, yeah. The memories you have.
Cadence had a shot blocked by Johnny Hayes as Hibs looked to take the early lead. Brophy. Oh, and we've got a goal in the El Sacchio.
Oh. Goal flashes with
Clyde Built Home Improvements. It's a goal for Hibs. Hibs have taken the lead. Josh Campbell has been one of Hibs' main goal threats this season, you would have to say. And he has put the home side in front, much to the delight of the home fans, the relief of Lee Johnson, and the despair of Jim Goodwin. It was a tap-in, Ewan with the initial effort, saved by Joe Lewis, and there was Josh Campbell on the rebound. Long way to go, Hugh. Yep. That's a very interesting start.
Well, it's very unfortunate for Jim Goodwin. I feel for him on a human level, because the Aberdeen fans are holding up a banner saying, Goodwin out. He's now a goal behind, which just adds to the tension. A Hibs side who are minus their best defender now at Watford, minus their best attacker, now on the bench after his move to Millwall collapsed. And it's a horrible start for the human sacrifice. This is Dave Cormack's fault. He's a human sacrifice, Jim Goodwin.
For the record, that was your last game at Bristol.
Was it really?
Just in case you're
what
keeping
a memorable fixture to end on.
Yeah,
you
celebration
made the bench
in Bristol,
four times after that, but you didn't get off of the bench.
I was just filling a space.
Anyway, back to Easter Road, more importantly.
Yeah, I said at the beginning, 3 o'clock, before they kicked off, I would not like to be Jim Goodwin standing there looking at that bunch of players thinking my job depends on you. I see no character whatsoever in them. And Monday, when they had to roll their sleeves up and get in about it, I know Shinny is a different kettle of fish for me. I think he'll go out there and he'll put himself about. I've been in those shoes before in the sense that you know that you're under severe pressure.
Ooh, this is interesting, you have to say. Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements. Ross County 1, Kilmarnock 0. And we said before the game, can they sign a goal scorer? Can that fix their problems? And Eamon Brophy, he scored in his debut already, a tap-in from across by Kenna. And Brophy is up and running, and so are Ross County.
I told you, I remember the date.
Penalty, Rangers, handball in the box.
Oh no.
So I'm sure there will be a VAR check, and we'll have great fun with that for the next 6 weeks. Can't wait. But there we are, penalty to Rangers for handball.
You're on fire, Daz. Yeah, you did say about Hibs and Ross County and Brophy.
I was up very early today. I studied today for the first time in a long time, maybe 14 years. And I decided to go for it. And you can see these teams. It happened last year when Ross County had a goal scorer. They got their sell out of trouble. They get their right up the league. They were performing, scoring goal. Brophy, I think, just needs a change of club. He needs a challenge. He needs a manager that's got to believe in him. He's got what a fantastic start to his career at Ross County. So, and I just, as I said, I'm harping on about Aberdeen. I feel for Jim. Everybody in this studio likes Jim, but we're talking about a football manager at a football club. I think he'll be out of job if
James
he doesn't win.
Tavernier with the penalty for Rangers. Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements. And he makes no mistake, he goes high into the net to give Rangers that one goal advantage. It was a handball. I'm sure we'll have a nice, friendly, respectable debate about that at some point going forward. But the fact of the matter is, it was a penalty.
Yeah.
Tavernier scores it, and Rangers are up and running.
And you can add Callum Davidson to the list of worried men. This will be St Johnstone's sixth straight defeat in the Premiership, and you know they're slipping away and slipping away. And for Rangers, I said to you when I got here today, I was ready to forecast 4-0. Then when I heard that Cantwell was playing from the start, and you could imagine what the atmosphere would be like, I upped it to 5-0. And it's a, you know, it's an awful start for Callum Davidson.
There was barely any noticeable stoppage for VAR to have much of a look, so they clearly were both confident, the referee and VAR confident.
Sometimes it will be blatant. Mm-hmm. Last week at Celtic Park, it was blatantly scandalous because there was the handball decision. I was glad the first Celtic supporter who came on here last Saturday night in the open line said it was not in a million years was it a penalty. But sometimes it will be blatant.
Oh, you're right. But sometimes we also act like blatant ones aren't, and dubious ones are blatant, and round we go.
That's why I love it here.
Yeah, it's great. It's what a place. Rangers 1, St Johnstone 0. We've got another goal at Easter Road.
Whoa. Goal flashes
with Clyde Built Home Improvements. It's a double from Josh Campbell, and Hibs are 2-0 up inside 10 minutes. And that Goodwin out banner will be getting some use in the Aberdeen end. I wonder how Dave Cormack is feeling at the moment. It was a flying header from a Joe Newell corner, and Hibs are 2-0 up on Aberdeen. And Motherwell had started the brightest in Paisley, but goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements. St Mirren have taken the lead, and it's Curtis Main, a former Motherwell striker, who's scored for the Saints. So all the home teams in front in the Premiership, and things could get very interesting Easter Road.
I salute Gordon Dale, who said that he in fact that the man who predicted a Hibs win, and also said I would not like to be in the trenches with these Aberdeen players because of the character deficiency that is their problem. Now it's a test of Dave Cormack, because Jim Goodwin won't come back from this, and the owner of the club will have to be asked, what did you mean by immediate response? Did you mean if you don't win at Easter Road, the manager's out? Or will he try and pull a fast one and say, well, when I said immediate, what I meant was, you know, 2 or 3 weeks? It's now a test of Dave Cormack, because The ball is now firmly in his court.
He won't survive that, Hugh. Let me tell you right now, he won't survive that unless, and it'd be a complete miracle, and I hope it is for Jim, because as I say, I respect Jim, I like Jim. Unless his players can give him something back, get out there with a draw or get something, a remarkable comeback. He walks out of there this afternoon, he ain't been the Aberdeen manager next week.
They're at home on Wednesday. They have St Mirren, I believe, at Pittodrie. Now, that's simply an open-air demonstration now.
I'm going to describe the Josh Campbell goal as a long-range header, Mark Wilson. Yeah. Is that fair?
Yeah, and I think it epitomises everything about Aberdeen defensively. Because, let's give
It's a Hibs, great header, though.
Let's give Hibs credit, because they've started incredibly well, a team that's under pressure as well. And the corner is one that's been worked on the training ground. It's driven to the edge of the box where Campbell has a run at it, and nobody picks him up from 25 yards, and he heads it, what, just inside the penalty area. So it's a shocking goal for Aberdeen to lose. Good goal for Hibs, you know, well worked on, but that just sums Aberdeen up.
And bad start for Stevie Hamill, Hugh, and Gordon. They had started the brighter, they'd settled better, but then Curtis Main is sharper. It was a low cross, he nicked in at the front post, and St Mirren, with their good home record, are in front.
It was always going to be the way, wasn't it? A former Fir Park player would do the damage. At least with regard to Motherwell, there's hope. You just get the impression with regard to Aberdeen, there is no hope. This is a literally hopeless situation.
Yeah. I'd rather be fifth, though, for what it's worth. I have to say, Dumbarton won, Bonnie Rigrose now, Greg Wild with the goal. Montrose won, Kelty Hearts won. It's that old goal getter, Rory McAllister.
Listen, Dave Galloway.
From the penalty spot, and Airdrie 2, Alloa 0, Callum Gallagher with the goal.
Listen up, Dave Galloway. Big Duncan Ferguson is a goal up at Shrewsbury with Forest Green, a team who only eat vegan food. His first game in charge, and the vegans are one up, Dave Galloway.
Did you see all the stuff, the pictures with the chairman, and he just looked.
It's awkward,
like a man
for
the
big man.
Movie.
It's an awkward.
They were asking him to describe global warming at one point.
Could you
big dunk?
Could you imagine he has a real bad run of results and the chairman's got to go in and sack him? I'd send somebody for the board.
I'd do it by letter.
I'd phone him.
I liked his scarf. His scarf looks like something you'd wear.
Now I'll tell you what, it must have been a heck of a week for those Darvel players celebrating, because they've lost 3-2 at Arthurley. They were 2-0 up. Talk about back with a bang. Because to be fair to Mick Kennedy, he was in here on Tuesday talking, you know, about the seriousness of having to get back to business soon, because they want to win that West of Scotland Premier Division. They want to try and get into the Lowland League. The night against Aberdeen will live long in the memory, but they need to get promotion.
Yeah, but in the long run, that, as much as it'll hurt this afternoon, that might be a good thing for them. It might just bring them right back down to earth. They'd have went there, you know, all the congratulations, all the pats in the back, and that's what happens. You know, thinking, yeah, okay, we beat Aberdeen, we've had all the publicity, bread and butter stuff now. It might just be a good thing.
If Arthurley's social media team have anything about them, they'll get on to that right away.
We've got one of these. VAR review with Clyde Built Home Improvements. Having a look for a penalty to Motherwell in Paisley. So we'll need to see what the verdict is on that play on. Ricky Lamy was claiming he doesn't get it, and VAR says play on. Rory McAllister's got a double now and throws two, Kelty one. And we'll get another look at that one, I'm sure, in Paisley, and see if there's any drama attached to it. But play on for now.
Worrying times for Jim. I know it could hardly get much worse, but it could. When you're two down with 20 minutes played and the traffic is going one way, this could turn out ugly. Chatting about character and the players, and you're putting the team out there and expecting them to keep your job. Well, this is real character. These Aberdeen players, an awful long time to go in this game for their own personal futures, never mind the managers. Because if another manager comes in, which he will, I mean, what do you say? Oh, it wasn't me, it was the manager that got us into this position. They will analyse this performance.
Morelos
from this team
has gone through one on one, but Parrish rushed out to the edge of the box, saved the shot, and away it goes for a corner.
Your problem at Aberdeen is that Dave Cormack got rid of Derek McInnes, then he thought it was a great idea to bring in Stephen Glass. That went well. Then he got rid of Stephen Glass and picked Jim Goodwin, and that's gone the way of Stephen Glass. So you're now in the hands of a man whose judgment is deeply suspect.
Hugh, the only thing I will say, if Jim's got any sense at all and he's thought this out, he's done what I achieved at Somerset. Park your car right at the front door. Half time, if it's not going well,
inches
right out the door.
Inches away from a penalty to Hibs as well. It was a free kick right on the edge of the box, so it could have got much worse in it. It may still do, but it's going to be from a free kick after a Johnny Hayes handball. There's a man who we know well and was in good form and would have been looking at a return to the Scotland setup. Ross Stewart stretchered off for Sunderland, so we wish him well. He's already had injury problems.
Do you know what? That's really sad, because there's always a chance he could have moved in this window.
You're right, there was talk of big money, wasn't there? In the next few days. So
it'll be interesting to hear Roger at half time, if Aberdeen don't get a goal or anything, that what the Aberdeen's fans' response. I think some of them have left the ground already, so they've given up. Look, it's still, the next goal could be so important to give Aberdeen a lift. But as I said, as much as Jim came in for criticism, and rightly so on Monday, I sort of spare him a little bit, because I don't care who the manager is. You've got the quality Aberdeen had in the field. You've got to do better as an individual and as a team.
Where are we? Anything else to discuss? Not right now. Let me give you... So let's do wrong answers to the teaser, Hugh. That seems like a good opportunity.
Okay. Right, the question is, name the 8 oldest Scots to have scored a goal in the Scottish Premiership era, which began in 2013-14.
Okay, Gordon Hendry has covered some good ground, but let's do some wrong ones. He's thrown in Stephen Fletcher.
No.
Mark's thrown in Clint Hill. Scots.
No chance you go.
Who was that? Hold
on, he said Stephen Davis.
No,
Hendry. Gordon Hendry's gone. Andy Considine.
No, not Andy.
I think this is going to be really tough for many people to round off all 8, maybe without looking some up. Has anyone got all 8 yet? Oh yeah, they have.
Really?
Let's see here. Yeah, lots of people are forgetting the non-Scots here. Bailey's thrown in, Davis and Johnny Hayes and Kyle Lafford.
Switch on.
I know.
Sean White's fallen into a similar trap. Come on, read the question again, Hugh. Yeah.
Yep. Name the 8 oldest Scots to have scored a goal in the Scottish Premiership era, which began in season 2013-14.
Yeah, so let's keep them guesses coming at Clyde SSB. And see if you can get yourself on that podium. Get in touch, please. Mm-hmm. Just thinking about Easter Road, I think, was it Roger Hannah who touched on it earlier, that Sean Maloney's the new Wigan manager. Interesting.
Good to hear that. Aye. Mixes with you, Gordon, and a couple of days later.
That's what happens.
He gets the job.
Again, on the subject of dodgy judgment, you've got old Uncle Ron Gordon at Easter Road who brought in Sean, gave him 19 games and then sacked him, and brings in Lee Johnson, who was in danger of going into the bottom 6 by 5 o'clock tonight, but I think he's doing enough currently to make sure they do stay in the top 6, because they're playing the bottle merchants of the Granite City.
And Sean Maloney going into an environment, Gordon, where the previous manager got 59 days.
Yeah, it doesn't fill you with confidence, does it? Obviously, there's a lot of work to be done. Hopefully, he'll have learned by his experience at Easter Road, Gordon. I always believe that good managers, you do have bad times, and that's where you learn, get a bit of experience, know that you're not going to make the same mistakes again. It'll be an interesting appointment. I'll be looking out for that one.
He's well loved there. 4 years as a Wigan player, won the FA Cup with Wigan. Now it's a real test of Sean, because even I would not have been a manager after 19 games. And Ron Gordon added insult to injury by saying they knew long before the end of the 19 games that they were getting rid of him. So this is Sean's chance to show that Ron Gordon was in the wrong.
Kennedy fires over from the edge of the box in a rare attack for Aberdeen. Michael Beale's looking a bit frustrated now. A few attacks breaking down for Rangers. Remember, the breakthrough came from the penalty spot, so maybe not quite the fluent attacking performance he would have been hoping for. No real news of Todd Cantwell's debut yet, but we will, I'm sure, get more of a detailed picture between now and the end of the afternoon.
Be interesting to see what role he fills. We were chatting about it midweek, and you know, some caller said that he would fill that right hand side as a winger, and I was of a different opinion, that I thought he would be one of the more attack minded midfielders, and Sakala would occupy the right, or someone else, an actual winger. But I wonder how he's fitting into that role, or is he coming inside and playing close to Morelos? Be interesting to hear about it.
Yeah, I'm sure Andrew McLean will fill us in, and it's all very fluid apparently, mostly sort of 4-2-3-1 with Tillman and Cantwell between, you know, rotating between the right side and in the middle. Yeah. But kind of moving around, which is something Michael Beale and Stephen Gerrard's midfield did a lot. If you look back to that spell, 34 years ago today, apparently.
34 years ago.
What you were up to?
Yeah.
Someone's told you this already.
I don't know what I was up to 34 minutes today. Never mind 34 years. Was I getting married again? Because it's a Saturday.
It's a Saturday night.
Normally a Saturday, I'm up for a good wedding.
34 years ago today, Raith Rovers 1, Rangers 1 at the Scottish Cup, and you scored a bullet header before Ian Ferguson cancelled it out.
Not surprised there. I do remember that one.
Seen footage, yep. There's nothing weirder than seeing this guy playing football. Because it was a diving header, and you barely see him move nowadays.
I think you would have me up in your wall, by the way. If you were in my pocket if I was
playing against you.
Absolutely no chance, mate. You are done.
Disgusting.
You had an easier chance than levels.
I didn't have an easy chance. I'd have buried that as well.
The Pen sent me the footage, and you had a header in the 6 yard box in the first half that you duffed. But in the second half,
I was warming up,
powerful diving header. Keeper couldn't anywhere near it.
I always scored second. I usually took me time to warm up, you know, get the stretches going in the first half, and then I would burst into life with a hat-trick.
I don't know why the keeper goes down on his knees and lets your header go straight over his head right enough.
Who was the keeper at that time?
Not sure.
What year did you say it was?
89, January 89.
Chris Woods, no.
Just before I was born, if that makes you feel older.
I don't know if it was Chris Woods. Nicky Walker, maybe?
I don't know.
Ex-mother will go.
There's a real Wraith striker's just scored.
Exactly. Yeah. Lewis Vaughan, 29 minutes on the clock. Wraith Rovers 1, Inverness 0.
Go and stick his goals down to mine and multiply them with 10. He still ain't getting near me. it doesn't really matter.
Rangers have a free kick 25 yards right of centre. Barisic takes, and it is saved by Remy Matthews.
Well, it seems to be one-way traffic, but not always in a fashion that pleases the manager. But one-way traffic, and they'll get there in the end.
Hibs are looking good. I don't know if it's just because they're playing against Aberdeen, but you look at McGeady since he's came back here and since he's been fit. I mean, he looks like he's lost about 10 years.
Still quick, sharp, creativity.
Just one of the best players ever played alongside and played against. Hard man to keep tabs on when you're playing against him.
Shifts it so quick, doesn't he? That's whether it's a cross or a shot, he's always been good at that.
You know what? I used to love it in training when I was pitted up against him, because it just made you a better defender. But he's always had that. I used to play with him in Glasgow schools teams. He was in primary 5. We were primary 7, so he was always younger.
You were 17.
But he always had the same level of skill. Mm-hmm. He developed that, and then he worked on his pace. And look up now, what is he, 35, 36, and he's still churning it out.
Motherwell causing problems from set pieces, but still not managing to find the breakthrough for the Steelmen. They're 1-0 down, remember, to St Mirren, so Stephen Robinson will be looking to add to that.
I'm just thinking about the point you made earlier, Dazzler, about the Aberdeen fans and would they be going home. I think they will stay just to protest, because they've got the Goodwin out banner, and if the game does end in defeat, they will stay to protest, not against Jim Goodwin, because he's the human sacrifice, but against the men who took the decision to leave him there.
It was the only thing that disappointed me here. They didn't have the banner, they just held up red cards. You didn't even make an effort to get me out.
I think that's more an effort because they have to get a whole load of red cards.
A wee square red
card. Otherwise, you could just get a white sheet and get one guy to paint it.
and everybody to hold it. See, getting an individual red card, that's more of an effort. So you were more hated.
Mm-hmm. No, well, the about 6 months later, the amount of them that went to Hampden as supporters in the final, semi-final, was brilliant. I didn't see the red cards or the banners then.
St Mirren free kick 20 yards out, fairly central. So they'll be looking to add to their goal advantage in our championship game. It's still Partick Thistle with all the possession, but no clear-cut chances yet. Aki's dropping deep, trying to see what impact that fantastic cup victory against Ross County and penalties will have for the Aki's. Can that give them a shot in the arm? I know they had got a couple of results of late. Strain, who's got a good free kick record for St Mirren, Tanzer as well, both standing over this, taking their time and straight at Liam Kelly. So on
the next goal in that game has got to be vital. If St Mirren get it, I don't think Motherwell will come back at all, but I think Stevie Hamill will be looking at that and thinking, we need to make sure we get this next goal or I'm in trouble here. That's another one that, you know, up until last week against Arbroath, I said that it was a terrific victory. And I know that people go, well, it's Arbroath, they're sitting ninth, they're not having a great championship this year. But it's always a difficult place to go, and they win it comfortably.
If things stay as they are, the bottom four teams will all be on 20 points come the end of the afternoon.
Well,
and that's when it really becomes nervy.
Yeah. Kilmarnock under Derek McInnes, you thought would be okay. He's a fine man.
Straight red card for Nicky Clark, former Rangers player, back at Ibrox in the blue, this time of St Johnstone. It was a sliding challenge on Ryan Jack. The follow through didn't look too clever, and he's been given a straight red card. So St Johnstone are a goal down and a man down as well. Nicky Clark shown a straight red card.
How is your luck, Callum Davidson? Yeah. It's bad enough you're a goal down at Ibrox, but with 10 men against 11, I mean, obviously we cannot see it. We cannot speak about whether it was a justifiable red card or not. However, it has been shown and the player's off, and that just makes it an even longer afternoon for St. Johnstone.
Are you comfortable with your five now, Hugh?
Well, I mean, if I don't get the five, then that's Michael Beale's fault, not mine.
Rangers' task has just been made that bit easier then. St. Johnstone down to 10 men. That James Tavernier penalty about 15 minutes or so ago now, though, maybe even more. And Rangers haven't managed to find that second, haven't come overly close. I've had some openings, of course, as you would expect. But James Tavernier's penalty, 1-0 up, and Nicky Clark sent off for St Johnstone.
Nothing better, is there, when you're 1-0 up at home and the opposition get a man sent off in the first
half?
You
meant Nicky Clark.
No, it's nothing better. You go, this is an easy afternoon now. We'll start enjoying this game rather than the pressure
straight
on our shoulders.
Down the tunnel, so the VAR looks to be as convinced as the referee. No need for any major assessment of what had gone on. That's Ryan Jack only getting back to his feet. He was in a fair bit of pain initially, so he's getting back to his feet. I think he'll be okay. And Nicky Clark makes his way for that early bath. First ever red card for Nicky Clark.
Great knowledge.
He's not that type of player. People always say that, and it means absolutely nothing, of course, because, you know.
But again,
if it's an offence, it's an offence.
You were talking, Gordon, about the bottom four all in the same number of points as things stand, and the list of troubled managers. You know, Derek McInnes, Malcolm Mackay will still be in the relegation zone. Callum Davidson, that'll be six defeats in a row in the league. You know, there's trouble piling up. Jim Goodwin may not be the Aberdeen manager by the time we all go to bed tonight. Trouble piling up for a whole group of people.
I think most of the managers are saving themselves just now. And by looking at that, if you look at the league, we're nearly 22, 23 games in.
Uh-huh.
Seven or maybe around about seven teams have lost more than half.
Yeah.
So there's nobody. They've got Rangers, Celtic, Hearts, Livingston are brilliant. The rest, you couldn't pick what they're going to do, because they don't win games. You look at that table there, the bottom six, there's hardly a green W on it for a win between them. And I'm talking about the six teams.
Yeah. Just one thing worth bearing in mind, though, because this is radio, not everyone has the colour-coded league table that you've got on the window.
But I described the green W. Now, it's quite easy to figure out. Green for go, W for win.
But you say that as if people green
can for
see
what?
It.
Go.
That's a trap. Yeah.
Callum Davidson's been booked for his protests, so he was not happy with the decision.
Well, that's
necessarily
interesting.
Like him, yeah. He's quite quite mild-mannered usually.
Unless
Callum Davidson.
The pressure's just mounting on
it must
Callum.
Be, it must be, Hugh. He must be feeling the strain. And then after last week with the whole Stand fiasco, I know it's not his call, but he still has to manage that situation.
Ryan Jack's just been booked for a late challenge with St Johnston players surrounding the referee, adamant that he should be sent off, just like Nicky Clark was for a tackle on Ryan Jack.
The open line's going to be good tonight. I can sense it.
The only thing I'll say about St Johnston, I don't think MD expected them to get anything. They'll still have a little bit of a gap.
What about five games before that though?
But what I'm saying
where
is
they've lost in a row.
I'll give you a bit more information. The bottom six, there've been 30 games, right? 30 games in the bottom six, there've been 3 wins in 30 games. So would I press the panic button? No, I wouldn't. Because he can turn it around like most sides. You happy with that?
Great
stuff?
Information. Thank well you. Done.
But it's the case that Callum Davies is not that type of guy to get involved with officials. But either the pressure of the 6 defeats in a row is telling on him, or we would have to see the incident and judge for ourselves whether Nicky Clark
Don't
has
you
been harshly dealt with.
We will. It's died down a bit, I guess, at Easter Road, Mark Wilson.
Yeah, it has been because, the Aberdeen goalkeeper isn't under much pressure, but Hibs, the majority of possession, the traffic is still going one way. There is no respite for the Aberdeen backline, really.
Right, that Ryan Jack tackle, remember the one?
Yep.
Ooh.
The AR review with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
So he's going to the screen. Which is Willie Colum, which tends to mean.
It's Willie Colum.
Willie likes a good red card.
Well, remember, someone will have told him that you should come and look at this on the screen. It's a team effort.
Well, it should be fresh in his mind what Nicky Clark had just done, what that tackle looked like to compare it to. So, it should be simple enough for Willie to determine.
Nick Walsh is the VAR, so he's in the ear of Willie Colum saying you might want to come and take a look. Willie Colum's still looking. Now, this will be interesting because people say, I wish the referees would make their own mind. Don't always give it if you go to the monitor. But if he doesn't give it when he goes to the monitor now, people will say, ah, look, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, I know.
And there you are.
He hasn't given
it. Play on.
Well.
No red card for Ryan Jack.
Again, we haven't seen it, so we can't comment. But
you always say you want to see that happen, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. I think you've got to have a strength of character about you. Because you've been sent to the monitor, it does not mean that you have made a mistake. However, with Willie Colum, it's impossible to second guess that particular referee.
The only thing I'll say in that, in Willie Colum's defence, now I've not seen it, so I'm not saying red or not red, Willie Colum is a more experienced referee than what Nick Walsh was, right? He's more experienced.
Yep.
So he may look at that, and he's obviously looked at that differently and thought, I totally agree. I think that the referees have still got to referee the game.
Yeah.
As much as we're all thinking, the minute he goes to the monitor, it's a red card, penalty kick, it's this or it's that. Willie Colum's went there and said, yeah, thanks for directing me over, but I don't see that as a red.
The first one, Gordon, the actual sending off for Clark, was that an instant decision from Willie Colm, or did he get called over to the monitor?
No, he didn't make the decision. The monitor for that.
So it was a red card, okay, and VR obviously looked at it. And
agreed. Yep.
And then this one, it was VR at flagged it. Okay, right.
I'm telling you, the open line, we can just enjoy ourselves for an hour because we know what we're talking about now.
Yeah, we're good. We'll go round in circles for 60 minutes, I'm sure. The yellow card stands for Ryan Jack, so we'll see. If he survives the rest of the afternoon, you can be absolutely certain if he has any other misdemeanour, the St Johnston players will react quite energetically, shall we say.
You might see at half time Ryan Jack being removed.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
A booking and then.
Players half.
No, he's been.
Every half then?
Well,
every first half.
I think that Michael Beale would be like everyone else at Ibrox. Minute Willie's went to the monitor, Ryan Jack's coming off. So he might just say to himself, there's no need. We're against 10 men.
If it's only a booting challenge then.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just, you know, it's not like he gets all,
you're just whipping people off for the sake of it.
No, I'm not. I'm being very cautious this afternoon. I don't think there's any need to run the risk. You're playing against 10 men. You're 1-1-0.
Let's just take everybody off. It's been booked.
I didn't say everybody. I said one person. You're starting to exaggerate, Matt.
Well, the next person that gets booked, let's get him off as
I noticed that Arsenal did it last night against Man City. They had a player on a booking and they thought he's away unless we take him off.
This is where the difference lies, Hugh. Arteta, DL against Wilson.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Says it all.
Arteta can have handled the hedge. There's no way. When you get a ball lost in the hedge, Arteta would have lost his mind.
He used to stay his hair on the breaking hedge.
By the way, it looks very similar.
Let's remind ourselves of your teaser again, please, Hugh.
Okay. Can you tell me the 8 oldest Scots to have scored a goal in the Scottish Premiership era, which began in season 2013-14? The 8 oldest Scottish players to have scored a goal in the Scottish Premiership era.
Hugh, would Johnny Hayes be one of them, Mark's asking?
No.
By the way, I've written down more Irish players than I have Scots.
Jordan wants to throw in someone who'll have scored recently, Robert Snodgrass.
Snoddy, no.
James McFadden.
No, they were all down south when this was happening.
Yeah, well, McFadden came back, I suppose, but he's not on the list. Kirk Broadfoot.
Are you kidding?
I am not. Tanzer volleys over from the edge of the box for St Mirren. Robinson's missed a sitter for Kilmarnock. It is all heating up. But keep your guesses coming, please, at Clyde SSB. There is still no one in third place on that teaser, so get thinking. I do have sympathy for you. I think 8 is tough. I think it is tough to get them all. But let's see what you can do. Ryan Kent's fouled right on the edge of the box, so Rangers looking to take advantage of the free kick, unless VAR pops up and tells Willie Collum it was actually in the box and on will go.
Yeah, you know, from a football perspective, if I were Michael Beale, I'd be thinking 1-0 and it was a penalty and nothing since, and we're playing 10 men. Doesn't look great.
I think you're right in that, Hugh, because I think the Rangers fans going along do expect, or did expect, a big lift in performance levels, and I think we're yet to see it. I know Cantwell coming in, they would have hoped that he might have been the one to spark something. Doesn't sound like it so far.
It's interesting because sometimes it feels like the more predictable outcome is a new manager goes in and people say, well, you know what, I can see that, you know, the style, it's looking better, the style's starting to get better and the results will follow.
Yeah,
Michael Beale's gone straight in, just fixed the results completely. Barely, well, doesn't lose a game yet, one draw on his record, but maybe you know, taking a bit longer to get them as fluid as he would like.
Well, I don't see much change apart from the resilience of the team and the character in terms of coming back when they lose goals, because under Van Bronckhorst...
Sorry, good save from a Tavernier free kick.
Yeah, under Van Bronckhorst, it just didn't happen. You'd fancy Rangers to go on and lose some of them. So that's the only thing that's really changed. Style, formation, I don't see it. Maybe Rangers fans will call up and say something different this afternoon.
To be fair, one step at a time.
6 minutes to be added at Ibrox. We have had a fair few stoppages. Halftime whistle starting to go down the leagues. So let's do this, Hugh, while we can.
The first half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk /football for the best football news and opinion online.
The 8 oldest Scots to have scored a goal in the Scottish Premiership era: Kenny Miller, Chris Burke, Stephen McLean, Charlie Mulgrew, Gordon Greer, Keith Lasley, Stephen Thompson, and Lee Miller.
I thought that was extremely tough. Well done. Hold on. Before we go any further on that.
Goal flashes with Clydebuilt Home Improvements.
It's Hibs 3, Aberdeen 0 just before the break. Ewan's header from the corner. The Aberdeen fans are wondering, can you sack a manager at half time? Because Jim Goodwin is bang up against it here. Hibs 3, Aberdeen 0.
Well, there are no circumstances under which Jim, and I regret saying this, one of the rotten things about a really great job is that sometimes you have to paint a picture about nice people. that is an unfavourable picture, but there are no circumstances under which Jim Goodwin keeps his job now.
All right, very quickly, just your winners on that teaser were no one in third place, no one else got it. Really tough question. Michael Smith, second fastest. Dylan Patton was the winner. Well done to you, Dylan. We'll have a Who Am I a bit later on. What a halftime team talk this is going to be for Jim Goodwin.
What can he say?
Win the second half.
He's already gave it the big speech, no doubt, before the game, and what he expects his team to show, minimum. And they've been anything but that. So how can you lift that? You even look at the goal they've scored. It's just out-muscled, out-fought, a simple corner into the box, and Ewan just brushes the defender.
This is a Hibs team minus Kevin Nisbet, and the three up at half time, and the Aberdeen fans, some of them are leaving.
Half time, Partick Thistle, Fraser Wishart.
It is Partick Thistle 0, Hamilton Accies 0. A really strange game. First half of complete domination by Partick Thistle with the ball, but lots of frustration for the supporters because no goals to show from their nice play in the middle of the park. In fact, no shots on target by Thistle at Zaki. He's quite happy to defend in numbers, leaving Tihi up front in his own. Thistle started really brightly. Harry Milne on the left-hand side, left-back, has impressed me so far. Very prominent, got to the byline a number of times, couple of really dangerous crosses cleared by McGowan and O'Reilly and the other wing. Fitzpatrick doing the same. For all that early pressure, Thistle just couldn't turn good play into chances. Really good defending in their own 6-yard box by Aki's. Lovely Kyle Turner flick with his back heel from a Fitzpatrick cross, almost set up Milne, who lunged into the back post but couldn't get any contact. We passed the 30 minute mark and Thistle keeper Jamie Stendid hardly had a touch, but the other end, despite the lots of pressure on Ryan Fulton's goal, no real saves to the big Aki's goalkeeper to make. In fact, they were just quite happy to drop off, concede possession, 9 men behind the ball. Jags fans becoming frustrated, not the way the team were playing, but the lack of the cutting edge and clear chances. Lone trigger Danny Milne did get his head to a couple of crosses from the right hand side, one from McMillan, one from Fitzpatrick, but both times he flicked the ball towards the far post, but the ball just drifted maybe a yard past the stanchion. A couple of penalty claims by Jags fans, but more in frustration than anything else. And Aki's hardly even near the Thistle goal, never mind actually having a go at Snedden and testing the big goalkeeper. But John Rankin, I think, will be fairly happy at the break. It's been a clean sheet so far. Ian McCall might just be telling his team, keep going, because one goal might just win this for either side. Half time at Firhill, Partick Thistle 0, Hamilton Accies 0.
Sacked in the morning, rings round Easter Road, but no half time whistle yet. There is one in Paisley, David Freel.
Half time, Gordon St Mirren 1, Motherwell 0. Curtis Mayne has made a difference so far with a goal against his former club. It's been a game of very few chances, not great stuff here, but a big striker scored a real poacher's goal to put St Mirren ahead at the break. It was a scrappy, spiky start, and Motherwell probably actually settled better after some early St Mirren pressure, but it was St Mirren who took the lead in 16 minutes through Mayne. Ryan Strain got to the byline, he's been really good. Fired in a low cross from the right. It looked like Liam Kelly expected to gather the ball pretty easily, but Mayne was so quick, he got across the front post and diverted it into the net. St Mirren took a lot of confidence from that. Ryan Strain had a free kick saved by Kelly up the other end. Motherwell had a fair bit of pressure, but zero shots on goal. Trevor Carson hasn't been troubled at all. He did have a penalty claim when Ricky Lammy fell to the ground after tangling with Charles Dunn. John Beaton waiting for a VAR check and then waved play on. St Mirren are heading for the top six as things stand and will be happy. Motherwell need to be a lot better to get a result here in the second half. Half time, St Mirren 1, Motherwell 0.
It's also half time at Easter Road. Roger Hanna.
Hibernian 3, Aberdeen 0 at the break. Gordon, surely the end of Jim Goodwin's spell as Aberdeen manager. They have been dreadful in the first 45 minutes. He was given a stay of execution after the cup defeat to Darvel on Monday night, but surely he'll not survive this. Aberdeen have not laid a glove on Hibernian in the first half, and they're probably fortunate only to be three behind. They had a couple of early warnings. Aidan McGeady firing over the top after 25 yards. Then Chris Cadden had a shot blocked by Johnny Hayes on the 6-yard line after Joe Newell's cut back. The goal was coming and it arrived after just 10 minutes. Josh Campbell tapping in after Joe Lewis saved from Eli Ewan's angled drive. 5 minutes later it was 2. Campbell again finishing, this time with a flying header from Newell's corner, clearly worked by Lee Johnson in the Hibs training ground through the week. Aberdeen hardly seen as an attacking force. Matty Kennedy had a shot over from distance midway through the half. Johnny Hayes then booked for a foul on Jimmy Jago. Graham Shinney tried to get something back for Aberdeen. He had a shot blocked in the box as well before being booked for a foul on Harry McCurdy. But Hibs always on top, always enjoying territorial advantage, always enjoying possession advantage, and they turned that into a third goal in added time at the end of the first half. Again, a set piece that Aberdeen just couldn't cope with. Delivery into the near post, and there was Eli Ewan. He's playing his centre forward today with Kevin Nisbet only on the bench. He headed home. It sparks chance of you're getting sacked in the morning to Goodwin, who's cutting a disconsolate figure in the technical area, as you can imagine. Loud jeers from the Dons fans in the away end at the half-time whistle. there is no way back from this. Half time at Easter Road, Hibs 3, Aberdeen 0.
Remarkable, an absolutely remarkable story developing there. It's half time at Ibrox, Andrew McLean.
Rangers 1, St Johnstone 0, the half time score here. A penalty, a red card, and another VAR check for a potential red card is the story here so far. As for the actual football, Alfredo Morelos with a couple of early chances, both of them pretty much exactly the same. The first at an angle, Tillman's through ball, his shot was saved by Remy Matthews. Then Ryan Kent was the creator a few minutes later, a driving run before the pass through to Morelos. Once again he was at an angle, this shot was diverted out for a corner. They did take the lead from the penalty spot, the ball dropping over the head of Connor Goldson and onto the arm of a St Johnstone defender. No need for VAR, Willie Collin pointed straight to the spot and Nick Walsh at Clydesdale House agreed with the call. Upstep James Tavernier to find the top corner for 1-0. Morelos with a better chance around 20 minutes in. He was played through one-on-one, getting in behind the St Johnstone defence, but Remy Matthews rushed out and saved his shot. Nicky Clark was St Johnstone's only effort at that point. He hooked a volley over the Rangers bar before Ryan Kent forced a stop from Remy Matthews. In a crazy few minutes, Nicky Clark and Ryan Jack going into a 50-50, but the follow-through from Nicky Clark didn't look good at all. He was shown a straight red card by Willie Collum. Ryan Jack got up, recovered from that, but then flew into a challenge of his own on Adam Montgomery. A yellow card was given by Willie Collum. However, he was summoned to the VAR screen by Nick Walsh. Serious foul play was the accusation, but after reviewing it, Willie Collum stuck with his original decision and play went on. St Johnstone almost equalised on the stroke of half time as well. Dre Wright was played through one-on-one with Alan McGregor. He rounded the goalkeeper. He was at a bit of an angle, but as he went to shoot, it was a complete air swipe from him. Ben Davies was back in the line, would potentially have got a block in, but it was a really good chance and he just missed the ball completely and it went out for a goal kick. The half-time whistle sounded then. It's been a pretty typical Rangers display under Michael Beale. The dominant side, but not really in full flow. The half-time score at Ibrox, Rangers 1, St Johnstone 0.
That Dre Wright chance on the stroke of half-time is unbelievable. St Johnstone should be level and they are not. They're down to 10 men. What about the Ross County Kilmarnock game, Dave Galloway?
Half time, Ross County 1, Kilmarnock 0. And new lone striker Brophy got Ross County off to the perfect start in the 13th minute. He had a very simple finish to convert Kenna's cross. That came shortly after Brophy had made space for himself, only to shoot over from the edge of the box. County were dominant at this stage, carving out some pretty good chances. From one of them, Iacovitti lashed the ball over when well placed. Killy, though, came roaring right back into it, almost equalised when a driven ball from Jones flashed right across the goal mouth, but Vassell couldn't connect at the back post. Taylor headed wide from a few yards following a free kick, then Robinson missed an absolute sitter. It was an open goal. He was only about 4 or 5 yards out and he somehow managed to scoop the ball over the crossbar. Waters then hit a dipping long range drive, must have been about 25 yards out. It went just over. The visitors then really taking over after that really bright start by their hosts, and they finished the first half strongly. But at the interval, just the one goal in it, and it's the hosts who have the advantage. Ross County 1, Kilmarnock 0.
What an interesting first half of football across the country. We'll do a full roundup of the halftime scores next.
The fastest goals, the experts' opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Halftime scores in the Scottish Premiership. It's Hibs 3, Aberdeen 0. Rangers 1, St Johnstone 0. Ross County 1, Kilmarnock 0. And St Mirren 1, Motherwell 0. In the Championship, Dundee 0, Queen's Park 0. Morton 1, Arbroath 0. Partick Thistle 0, Hamilton Accies 0. Raith Rovers 1, Inverness 0. In League 1, Airdrie 3, Alloa 0. Clyde 1, Dunfermline 1. FC Edinburgh 0, Falkirk 0. Montrose 2, Kelty 1. And Peterhead 1, Queen of the South 0. In League 2, Albion Rovers 0, Forfar 0. Annan 1, East Fife 0. Dumbarton 1, Bonnyrigg Rose 0. Stenhouse Muir 1, Elgin City 0. And Stirling Albion 0, Stranraer 0. The English games today are FA Cup ties. I won't bother running through them all. We'll be here all day, but we'll get the second halves up and running in our Scottish games next.